Witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the gospel message of life, abundant life, eternal life, God's gift through faith in Jesus Christ.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
I saw a news story the other day about a church in Fairfield, Ohio, that gave away $1,000, last Easter Sunday in order to fill more pews. They figured, hey, that'll get the people in. We're going to give away some cold, hard cash. They would draw names then to award $500 each, one to a member of their congregation and another to a guest. And they said then that, well, it worked so well last year, we're going to do it again. And I'm wondering, okay, who here wishes that you lived in Fairfield, Ohio, so that you could have gone to that church this morning instead of here? Well, I want you to know I have some bad news and some good news here. The bad news is we're not going to be giving away $1,000 here to anyone this morning. But the good news is we're going to celebrate something. We're going to celebrate something infinitely better than $1,000 cash. We're going to celebrate life, eternal life, life in and through the resurrected Savior. And we're going to be encouraged. We're going to be encouraged to give away something too, but we're not going to be encouraged to give away cash. We're going to be encouraged to give away the message of life, the message of hope. Now, if you were here last week, we saw that we, the church, are the community of the Messiah, and we bear witness that God's promised deliverer has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Friday night, we reflected on what it means to be the community of the cross, the community of the cross, that we are men and women and young people with whom God has made peace and are therefore called to live in peace with one another. Now today we celebrate. We celebrate that we are the community of life. We're the community of life. We're called to rejoice in our new life in Jesus, and also give away that message of life to others. Our scripture passage this morning is from the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 1, verses 11. If you have your Bibles there with you, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I want you to know a little information beforehand. Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he wrote those books in order to tell the story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and then the founding of the church. And while all that he wrote is intended for all of us, Luke also, though, wrote specifically for an individual official named Theophilus. The gospel is for everybody, and everybody includes individuals, doesn't it? Now, in his gospel, Luke tells us the story of Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He taught, he healed the sick, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. But the chief reason that he came was to give his life for us in order that we might live. So Scripture says, he died on the cross for our sins, he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day. He appeared to his disciples, the apostles, and many others of his followers, until he was taken back up into heaven. Now, you might think that the story ends there, that Jesus is done, the work of the cross is done, he's resurrected, he's instructed his disciples, and he has ascended. But that was only the beginning of the story, only the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So listen as I read Acts 1, 1 through 11. And as I read, I'm going to emphasize certain key phrases and see if you can pick these out. Luke says, "In my former book, Theophilus," the Gospel of Luke, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, did you hear the emphasis on certain phrases in that passage? All that Jesus began to do gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. The kingdom of God. You will be my witnesses. Jesus will come back. Amen. Well, let's reflect on some of those phrases. First, all that Jesus began to do. All that Jesus began to do. You know, the work of Jesus is found in the Gospels is not all the work that Jesus has done. It is only the beginning of his ministry. Don't you find that an amazing little phrase there, right? I mean, after the Gospel, he's told the story of Jesus, the resurrection, and even in his Gospel, it ends with his ascension. And then he comes back here, this first chapter in Acts, to talk about the founding of the church, and he says, in his book, he talked about all that Jesus began to do. Began to do. Now, someone's thinking, wait a minute. Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. But when Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, he was saying that the work of redemption had been accomplished. But that certainly did not mean that all the work of Jesus' ministry was done. No, the work of Jesus' ministry continued on. It continued as he instructed the disciples following his resurrection. It continued on when he sent the Holy Spirit to baptize them and dwell them and endow them with power to be his witnesses. It continued on through the ministry of the apostles as recorded in the book of Acts. And it continued on throughout the history of the church from the early days of the first century church through the Reformation and until today. The work that Jesus began to do in the Gospels continues this morning. How? How does the work of Jesus continue today? Who is Jesus working through today? Someone? You. You. And me. All of us. All of his followers. Jesus continues his ministry in you and through you. All that Jesus began to do, and the text tells us then that he gave his disciples many convincing proofs that he was alive. When Jesus had been crucified, the disciples were totally demoralized, and they were in fear for their lives. They were even hiding in locked rooms. And then Jesus appeared to them repeatedly, over a period of 40 days, and gave many convincing proofs. Now, why do you think Jesus appeared so often to them, and he gave them so many convincing proofs? Why do you think Jesus was so intent on them making sure they knew he was alive, that he was the risen Savior? Why did he make sure they knew that and understood that? Many convincing proofs. Why did Jesus do that, do you think?
They were doubting.
They were doubting, some of them. Anybody here ever struggle a little bit with doubt? Hey, is this really true? Can I believe all this? Some of them did. In fact, Matthew even says some of them, some were doubting even after the resurrection. Some were doubting, so he gave many convincing proofs. Why else do you think Jesus was so concerned that they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was risen? They were looking for signs, right? Well, I think it's because the resurrection is the critical foundation of the entire Christian faith, isn't it? The resurrection, the Christian faith rises and falls on the truth of the resurrection. In fact, Paul even says what? If there is no resurrection, says, some say there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, well, then Jesus is not raised. He says what? And if Jesus is not raised, our faith is what? It's in vain. It's useless. And we're what? We're liars. We're preaching lies to people. And here's the horrible part. We are still in our sin. But Jesus has been raised. Amen? He has been raised. So the resurrection is the critical foundation of the entire Christian faith. And I think he also gave many convincing proofs because the apostles had a very important job to do. Their job was to do what? To be witnesses, right? Proclaim the gospel in their own little town and forget everyone else? No. To the ends of the earth. And because I think Jesus knew the apostles would pay a very steep price for carrying on the work of Jesus, wouldn't they? Every single one of them, with the exception of John, would be martyred for their faith. And even John was persecuted and imprisoned, wasn't he? Jesus knew the importance of the resurrection to the faith. He knew that the apostles had this very important job to do, that he was going to give them, and they were going to suffer mightily. In light of all this, there could be no doubt in their minds at all about their risen Savior. He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus preached the kingdom of God. After the resurrection, the disciples asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now we might ask, well, what is this kingdom of God? Well, it can have different shades of meaning and depending upon the context in Scripture. But essentially, it is this. It is the rule and the reign of God over all things. It represents the realization and the culmination of God's truth and God's purposes in all things. In one sense, the kingdom of God is now. It is now in heaven. The kingdom of God, in another sense, is now in the hearts and minds of believers. Here, the kingdom of God is right here in your heart. But in another sense, the kingdom of God is yet future. When one day that kingdom of God will be fully realized upon the earth, this earth. The resurrection assures us that not only has Jesus redeemed our souls, he will one day raise our bodies and fashion them anew in the image of his own glorious resurrection body. But the work of Jesus, his redemption, is not just about saving and redeeming human beings. It's also about redeeming God's entire created order. Scripture tells us that the earth, that it longs for that day. It groans along with us for that day when salvation is complete and it too is redeemed. So there will be a new earth, and we will live and reign forever and ever and ever with him on that new earth in our resurrection bodies. Is that worth celebrating? I think so. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Jesus told his apostles that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He was saying that they were going to proclaim the gospel message, the message of life, everywhere. Jerusalem was their city. Judea and Samaria were their regional provinces. So if we were to put Jesus' statement in more familiar terms for us here today, it would be like saying this, you will be my witnesses in Wonder Lake and McHenry and Johnsburg and in Illinois and Wisconsin and to North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, and even where else? One more continent. Antarctica, there you go, there you go. It's a pretty all-encompassing mission, isn't it? Witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the gospel message of life. Abundant life, eternal life, God's gift through faith in Jesus Christ. It's forgiveness of sin, holiness, love, peace, joy, hope. Anybody here need some hope to cling to? A resurrected body, a new heaven and earth, dwelling forever with God, seeing Him face to face and knowing Him fully, even as we are fully known. Now that's a lot to get excited about and celebrate, isn't it? But He also says, the text tells us what, that Jesus will come back. Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus who was taken up from them will come back to the world in the same way that He went into heaven. That is, He will return personally, visibly, in His resurrected body. And all the world will see Him and know. And one day, every person who has ever lived will bow down before Him and acknowledge that He is Lord. Now, we don't know when He will return. And it's not for us to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. And some have tried to set times and dates, and they've looked very foolish in the process, haven't they? Someone tried it just this year. No, it's not for us to know those things. But we will be His what? Witnesses. Witnesses of the gospel message of life. Witnesses that Jesus is coming again. And one of the early witnesses to the gospel message of life was the Apostle Paul. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you, you Corinthians. I passed it on to you as of first importance." This is important. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Namely what? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. That He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Abnormally born, what do you mean by that? Well, He meant that He did not become an apostle in the same way the 12, the disciples of Jesus had, but nevertheless, He was an apostle, just as they were called and sent, an apostle, a sent one, sent by Jesus Christ into the world. And you know what? There is an unbroken line. There is an unbroken line of gospel witness from the apostles all the way down to us here this morning. It's amazing, isn't it? You think about that. There's an unbroken line of gospel witness, of message, of messengers who proclaimed from the time of Paul and the Corinthians all the way to us here. Somebody has been Jesus' witness throughout history. Someone told the message of life to you. How did you come to believe? Someone communicated it. Maybe many someones communicated it to you, right? But you came to believe. And many of us here, and I hope all of us here, have believed that message of life. And so now, all that Jesus began to do continues in us. We are to proclaim the message of life. And for whom is this message of life? Who's it intended for? Everyone, right? Everyone is to hear. The whole world. But let's get a little more specific, shall we? The message of life is for the people of Wonder Lake and McHenry and Johnsburg and every other community in this area. Now, Pastor Chuck is going to come in a moment to exhort us to pass on this message of life, to give it away. But first, we're going to see some photos of people right here in Wonder Lake and McHenry and Johnsburg. Now, some of these people may look familiar to you. Others won't. But the point is this. The message of life is for everyone. It's for every person in these photos we're going to see. And it's for all the people of all of our communities.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. That was good. That's good. Thanks. Say this. Give it away.
Give it away.
By this side over here. Give it away.
Give it away.
What over here? Well, the question is, what we got to give away? You know, I love it. Through all my life, people have given me gifts. In fact, it was probably 2-3 weeks ago, somebody walked up, and you'd love this. Somebody walked up to me from behind my back and gave me a gift. What, I don't know what it is. They stuck $500 in my pocket. Now, they stuck something in my pocket, and I was like, what was that? First of all, I thought, somebody's messing with me. Get out of my pocket. And then I stuck my hand under there, and I pulled it out, and I'm like, that's big. That's a big thing. And then I opened one, and I opened two, opened three, and opened four, opened five. It was $500. That's a nice gift. You agree or disagree? Would you like that to happen today? It's not going to happen right this morning. It's not, you're all going, is it going to happen? I tell you, I have all kinds of gifts. I was, somebody gave me a Mustang. I got money and a Mustang in my lifetime, not in my pocket. They didn't put the Mustang in my pocket, all right? But somebody gave me a Mustang, a red one, 5-speed convertible. How about that gift? Would you like that? You're saying, what did you play? What did you win? Do you do some kind of like gambling, lottery, bingo thing? What do you do? No, somebody just gave it to me for 1 week. Yeah, I was speaking at a camp somewhere, and I think they felt bad for Lynn and me, and they said, hey, we've got a brand new Mustang. I mean, it was shiny, top down, white interior, red, beautiful 5-speed. It's yours. So throughout my life, like you, people give us gifts. They give it away. Say, give it away.
Give it away.
See, we're the community of life, and we got something to give away. Money in the pocket? No. Mustangs? No. Not Mustangs. God gave me two special gifts, Lynn and I. We've got two sons. You got kids? Is that a great gift? Especially when they obey, right? Then the gift is like way better. And then from those two sons, one of them and our beautiful daughter-in-law, they're coming today. We got a grandson. I'm a grandpa. He calls me Papa. That's a great gift to have him grab me by my cheeks and look in my eyes and say, I love you, Papa, and then he headbutts me. Bam! It's like, whoa, that's incredible. That's a great gift, though. But, you know, one of the greatest gifts that my grandson has given me, and you are who? How many grandparents? Okay, cool. You'll love this then. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, we went to a grandparents' day at his school. I know we've had some other friends do that recently. And Travis, he gave us this. And I'm going to read it to you. Listen to what it says. And you just go, it's going to make your hearts go. It's going to make your tummies go. That's so nice, Travis. And he wrote it by hand. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I'm not going to pass it around. It'll take too long. Travis, it says, grandparents are special. My grandparents, Chuck and Linda Beckler, the best thing about my grandparents is they are really nice. All right, I'm liking that. Some people don't think I'm very nice. My grandma, he does. I like that. You like that? I'm very nice. Really nice. Way cool nice. Hip nice. All right? Then he goes on and says, my grandparents are nice because, he tells us why, they play with me a lot. We're like wind-up toys when he comes, man. The batteries go in, he winds us up, and we don't stop till he leaves and we drop almost dead. Then he says, my grandparents make me happy when they play with me. What does Travis like to do? He likes to play, man. My grandparents love to play with me. So you notice that? They play with me because they're nice. They play with me. They play with me and they play with me. That's kind of our gift to him. But then he ends it this way. But the best thing, the really very best thing about my grandparents is they know about God. And then he drew pictures. Oh, it's very cool. I wish you could have stuck this up on the deal. It would have been cool. I look pretty good now. I got hair. I got hair and I got a Bible in my hand. It's very cool. I got hair and I've got a Bible in my hand. It's unbelievable, you know? In fact, one time he was riding in the back seat when he was little. He was in his car seat. He's 8 years old now. He's going to be 9, so he's like, Pop, I'm going to be 9. In the back seat, he was thumbing through my Bible, big Bible, and he's singing, I think Jesus loves me or something like that. And he goes, Linda goes, what are you doing back there? He said, I'm being like Papa. I'm telling the kids about Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can have, well, there's a lot of great gifts. Money's nice, Mustangs, 2 sons, and maybe with the sons, one of the greatest gifts that came was diaper service. For those who remember diaper service, that was huge stuff because I'm telling you, that was huge. But the grandson who says this, Papa, the gift of life, you know, you've given that to me. You've talked to me about Jesus. It's an incredible gift. My grandma, my grandpa, my mom, my papa, they know about God. Community of life. Pastor Dan gave us great theological and doctrinal instruction about the resurrection and Christ living in and through us. And then our responsibility to talk about this community, this thing Paul talked about called the gospel, which today sometimes I think has been messed up in the church. I really do. I want you to think about that. The gospel, we know it as evangelion in the Greek, and we talk about it as the good news, and it's a general term that was used in ancient days. That meant, here's a story. Here's great information. Yeah, Caesar would talk about, I got a son, and they would have the gospel, the good news about the son. And so this gospel word is a generic word in a sense, but for those of us who are Christians, it's very special. It strikes our hearts and makes our pulse race, makes our bodies begin to go, there's something unique about this. There's something spiritual. There's something transformational. One old dead guy, some theological author said, the gospel is the divine panacea for mankind. If you know what that word panacea means, the gospel fixes everything. Someday, like Pastor Dan said, it's going to fix my body. I may grow hair. Someday all the aches and the pains that I've had to deal with, they're going to be gone because I'm in Christ. The gospel has changed my life. I won't have to worry about arthritis or what all those things are. The arthritis is to get us because the gospel has changed me. And when I was a little boy, somebody gave me this gift. They gave it away. It could have come through a Sunday school teacher. I remember one of my Sunday school teachers, I would climb inside the lockers. We had lockers in our Sunday school. I'd climb inside the lockers and I'd lock it from the inside. Oh, I know you're going, you're a horrible kid. Oh, I was. I can still be horrible. I was inside the lockers. And then he would stand there and he would tell me about Jesus, this story through the lockers. And I would listen to that story. And then I had Awana leaders. Man, I ran in the circle. I think I was in the first Awana Olympics that was ever held. I'm serious about that. I could have been on the red, green, blue, yellow team all at the same time. I used to jump teams, you know? Whatever leader I thought was the best or where I got the biggest candy bar, I would jump. I loved Awana. I loved getting the beanbag. I loved getting the pin. But I also loved hearing somebody get up and tell the story of Jesus. And so I heard that given away to me. Given away to me through Sunday school teachers. But perhaps the best was my father. After supper, we'd sit around the table. He'd pull out the big family Bible. It looked like it weighed about 5,000 pounds. Set it on the table. Open it up along with John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And then the hymnal, we'd sing hymns. And then we would read the story of John Bunyan, a little Christian running through the land, working his way to heaven. Incredible. Working his way to glory. And then my dad would tell us the story of Jesus. And once in a while, the story of David, how he beat the giant. And once in a while, the story of Joseph and the many colors. And once in a while, the story of Jonah and that big fish, the whale. But I heard the gospel, the story. Now, here's the way I define the gospel. Now, listen hard. Listen to this morning. It's about the community of life. It really is. It's about the community of the cross. That's us. It's about this community of Yeshua, Mashiach, as Stephen told us last week. But I believe the gospel, I kind of put my own definition together. It's okay, I think, to think and write it out. I believe the gospel, you could express it this way. That it's the most powerful, beautiful, true story ever told to mankind. What do you think so far? You agree? I mean, powerful and beautiful. Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel. It's not a little prayer about asking Jesus into your heart. It's good news. It's a story. It starts way back in paradise in the garden and goes all the way through until Christ comes to get us through the clouds and we behold his glory. It's a great story. It's resurrection. It's life. The most powerful, beautiful, true story ever told to mankind. About who? Listen, not Batman. Not some preacher. Not D.L. Moody. Not A.W. Tozer. Not John Piper. Not some guy on the radio. Not John MacArthur. Not some television evangelist. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the hero of my life. It's about the most heroic, courageous, committed man, the God-man that ever lived and walked the face of this earth and obeyed his father to the point of death and kept the law and went through agony, offered up himself to make peace for us so we could be this loving community. This is the gospel. It's a story. And you know what our job is? Pastor Dan told us, he ended, listen, it's to do what? Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. When? Now. Oh, okay, you guys try that, okay? Here we go. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Now. Now you guys over here try it. Ready? Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Now. Not like, well, someday I'm going to get around to it. Someday I really want to talk to somebody about Jesus. No. Now. Say now.
Now.
I want you to stay awake. I don't want to bore you to death, you know? So we want to give it away, like my Sunday school teacher, like my dad. And I know we've all thought about it. And I know at different times we all do it. But I want to challenge us to think about maybe three little issues we need to work on. Just quick. Dr. Dan gave us here the application. He gave us the instruction. My job is give a little application. How do we do this, all right? So first of all, I want you to look at that sign. And what would your first observation be about that sign? Needs a little patching up, a little something. You know, let's use the word fix. It needs a little fixing up, a little refreshment. You can read it almost. You kind of get the idea of what's going on, but it looks kind of like it needs some patching, some refreshment, some fixing. I want to throw this thought out to you on Easter Sunday morning. I want to think about this. Think about it. A lot of us in our theological lives, we need some fixing up. Theology, the word simply means science of God, studying God. A lot of us aren't sure really, well, we forget who God really is, how big he is, how incomprehensible, how immutable. A lot of us need to get back to being equipped so we can give it away, need some fixing up, give it away, just go back and understand a little more of who God is. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to put it together. Somebody said to me, well, you know what? Don't you think now by your age you should have it all down? No. The older I get, I realize the less I know. And I want to know God. And I want to know him so I enjoy his presence in my life. I want to know all that he is. I want some fixing up in my life in this area of theology and some good doctrine. Maybe, can I challenge you to think about this Easter morning? Think about working on what is the gospel. How have you shared it? What have you learned about it? Do you really know the story from paradise to the pain to the perfect one to beyond paradise? Can you consolidate that and compress that and give that powerful, beautiful story away? Can you do that? And can you put it in your own words and yet not compromise what Romans teaches us and what scriptures teach us? Can you talk about Christ as the law keeper and the lamb and the lion of Judah? For you kids who like Narnia, Aslan. Can you? We need some fixing up. We need some patching up. We need to, you know, in fact, you know what I was thinking about? We need a new sign. Maybe some of us need to work on a new sign. Maybe a sign that would look something like this. What do you think? Isn't that incredible? That's like a metamorphosis, a transformation. It's like, wow, Chuck, that's the idea, you guys. We need to think about all that we learned this morning about this incredible doctrine of the resurrection and Christ living in and through our lives. And it's no longer me, but Christ that lives. We need to study theology, be equipped in good doctrine, continue to learn, press on through the scriptures, get the story right, be refreshed, fix it up a little bit. And I'll tell you what, not be ashamed of it. That sign on that property, the other one, I don't want that one on mine. This one, stick it on. You get that? You understand that? So, I love you. It's a privilege to be together, isn't it? But think, second little area to work on is we need to follow Christ's example. It was awesome. You touched on it. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to do what? Seek, save, seek, let's say seek, seek, save that which was lost. We need to get some fixing up and then some following of Christ. Now listen, we can't save anybody. Say, I can't save anybody. It's Christ who saves. If you think you can get to somebody's heart and change them, then all you're doing is manipulating them into some kind of false conversion experience. We don't need that in the church today. The gospel is the power of God. Get fixed up with the story. Let the story do the work. Your job is go out and just follow Christ. Seek out lost people. We saw all kinds of pictures. And then just give it away. Give it away. Give it away when? Now. Give it away. Give it away when? Now. Somebody out there needs Jesus. And I love celebrating Jesus. This is awesome. Did you see your pastor playing the drums on some? This is incredible. Yeah. I mean, here we are. Here we are, two pastors, men of God, beating on tom-toms on a Sunday morning. He was giving away his joy about Jesus. This guy bubbles up with the love of Christ. You know that. Those who are from Wonder, we know that at Valley. He loves Christ. His desire is to give it away. Follow Christ. Be obedient. Go out and talk to somebody. And he wants that for all of us. And I want that for all of us. Somebody out there needs Jesus now. And if we sat in here until Christ came back, or like the disciples in Acts, and they looked up and they just stood there waiting, nothing's going to get done. We've been given a great responsibility, a great privilege. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. When? Now. I was speaking at a camp somewhere a couple years ago, and this young college guy walks up. He says, you remember me? And I said, no. I said, what's your name? And he told me, and he said, I was like a high schooler 2 or 3, 4 years ago. And he said, I was here, and I was really struggling. I was messed up. I was going to go home and commit suicide. He said, but you told the story. I said, what do you mean, what story? Because when you, as a speaker, especially with kids, you tell stories. I said, what story? He said, you told the story of Jesus. The good news, the gospel. You started in paradise with the fall of man, and that Adam couldn't do the job. But the hero showed up and did the work. And you said, by faith, trust in Christ. Don't trust yourself, trust in his works. God saved me. I'm here working as a counselor now because it was given away. Somebody out there needs Jesus. Can you think of one person? Can you work on it now? Last little deal I want us to work on is fun. Say fun.
Fun.
On a Sunday morning? Oh. Can worship be fun? Hey, I was having fun while you were singing. And you were having fun while you were singing. And the ladies were having fun and not fun in a flippant way, a frivolous way, a silly way, but a holy fun. A separated fun, a different fun, not a self-righteous, oh, we are Christians and we have God, you pagans out there, get right. No! That's not fun. You may get beat up if you do that. But a holy fun, a fun that's driven from a heart of love and compassion. When Christ looked at the multitudes in Matthew chapter 9, it says he was moved with compassion. He went beyond the point of convenience to give it away. He gave his life away. I want us to have some fun together as Wonder Valley Church. You meet at Wonder Lake on your Sundays, and we'll meet at Valley on our Sundays. And then once in a while, let's get together and be Wonder Valley and let's party. And let's go after this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be creative. Let's be expressive. Let's come up with new ways to move us out into the community. Jesus said, go, don't stay, go. Go to Starbucks, go to Meijer, have your coffee, buy your groceries, go get your gas, but on the way, give it away. On the way, give it away. When?
Now.
I was speaking at a conference at Moody Bible Institute, and this group of students were down in Lake Michigan, and we're giving it away, telling the story of Christ. And they were kind of scared, kind of excited, and all of a sudden this one little girl said, Chuck, you know, I'd really like to do this, but I'm afraid. I said, it's going to be fun. If you share Jesus, it will be fun. It really will. So she did it. She came back. She said, that was so much fun. I told the story of Jesus. I was so excited. I got goosebumps about it to somebody I didn't even know. And then I looked over and there was all these guys, like these gangbanger guys down there on one of the beaches. And she said, I want to talk to them. I said, that's not going to be fun. I said, why don't you wait till we get the armies behind? She goes, no, Chuck, you don't understand. It's just fun to tell the story. She wasn't looking for results. Get it? Just tell the story. Christ saves, we tell story. The story. I said, well, okay. We went over there and some other kids went over. I said, you talk. She said, all these guys down. She said, hey, I want to talk to you guys. And they all said, yeah. She said, sit down. And all these gangbanger guys were like, whoa. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then she started telling the story of Jesus. There was no response. No, I mean, she didn't give an altar call. We didn't sing Just As I Am. But she was obedient and told the story, and she had fun. And so did we praying for her. And who knows if one day we'll see one of those guys in heaven. What do you think? Hey, so what we're going to do is this. We're going to give it away. How are we going to do it? We're going to get fixed up a little bit. Think about it. We're going to follow Christ. Somebody needs Jesus. Follow his lifestyle's pattern. Seek him out. And let's have some fun. I want you guys, I want to hear from your pastor that you're coming up with ideas. Let's get together and do something to reach people. Let's rock this community. Let's shake it up. And we'll feed ideas. And I've got one more thing. Then we're going to sing a great song together. I got a Hershey's chocolate cream egg. Yeah. Oh, look at, he wants the gospel. Give me the gospel. Yeah. You know what? Somebody wants this, don't they? Who wants it the most? Who wants it the most? I only have one. Who really wants it? Maybe I should put it on the floor and let's have a Awana beanbag thing, you know? Who really wants it? Who wants it? Mr. Selleck wants it the most? All right, I'll give it to him. There you go. Well, he's giving me good sound, so you can have it. Now here, listen, as we see it, we're going to sing this song, The King's Coming. We have a job to do till he comes. Give it away, give it away, give it away. When?
Now.
I only had one egg. We'll never run out of the gospel. I ran out of eggs. We always have the gospel on our lips, in our heads, in our hearts. Let's give it away. Let's sing.